Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we are studying Yeshayahu Perek Chaf Gimel. Perek Chaf Gimel contains a nevuah directed at the city of Tzor, or in English, Tyre, an important and prosperous city in the ancient empire of Phoenicia, now the fifth largest city in Lebanon. Tzor is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and protrudes out into the sea, so it was a well-known port and center of trade in the ancient Phoenician Empire. We may remember Tzor from Sefer Shmuel Bet and Sefer Melachim Aleph, when Hiram, king of Tzor, sends cedar and other fine materials, first to David and then to Shlomo, to build their palaces as well as the Beit HaMikdash. Hiram was a great admirer of David and Shlomo and formed an allegiance with both. In Pasuk Aleph, Yeshayahu predicts suffering for the city of Tzor. Masa Tzor, Helilu Aniot Tarshish Kishudad Mibait Mibo Me Eretz Kitim Nigla Lamo. The Tzor pronouncement, Howl, you ships of Tarshish, for the city has been ravaged, not a house is left. As they came from the land of Kitim, this was revealed to them. The ancient historian Josephus records two sieges placed on the city of Tzor, one by Assyrian king Shalmaneser, and another by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel. There is some debate over which siege Yeshayahu is delivering a prophecy about here in Perek Chaf Gimel. Abarbanel is of the opinion that this nevuah is discussing the Assyrian siege, which happened first and lasted 5 years. He explains that this first Assyrian siege of Tzor primarily affected the Phoenician city's ability to continue running its port, preventing it from being a center of trade. This seems to be what Yeshayahu is referring to in Pasuk Aleph when he mentions the ships of Tarshish. This is the same Tarshish that Yonah runs to in his attempt to flee his mission to deliver a prophecy to the Assyrian capital of Nineveh. Whether Tarshish is the name of the sea, as Rashi suggests, or the name of a city, as most others imply, the ships or merchants of Tarshish will wail over the siege of Tzor because of the loss of trade it represents for them. According to Abarbanel, this first siege of Tzor took place during the reign of Chizkiyahu, when the city of Tzor was still a close friend and ally of Malchut Yehuda. This explains why the Assyrian siege wasn't too long or too destructive, because Hashem looks upon Tzor with favor for their friendship with the Jewish people. All this changes by the time the Babylonians lay their siege to Tzor, which, according to Abarbanel, is not described here, but is described in Sefer Yechezkel. Yechezkel describes a much more significant destruction, and he gives the reason why. Ben Adam, Ya'an asher amra Tzor al Yerushalayim he'ach nishbera daltot ha'amim naseba elai imala hacharava. Because Tzor gloated over Yerushalayim, saying, the gateway of the nations is broken, it has become mine. I shall be filled now that it is laid in ruins. Lachein ko amar Hashem Elokim, hineni alaich Tzor v'ha'aliti alaich goyim rabim keha'alot hayam legalav. Therefore, says Hashem, I am going to deal with you, Tzor. I will hurl many nations against you as the sea hurls its waves. It seems that the city of Tzor rejoiced when they heard about the destruction of Yerushalayim. Not necessarily out of hatred, according to the Malbim, but because of the description of Yerushalayim as the gateway of nations. Malbim explains that Yerushalayim was a well-known and well-visited market city and was a center of commerce at the time. Tzor therefore believes that its own markets will benefit from the downfall of Yerushalayim. Naseba elai, imala hacharava, it has turned to me, I will be filled by its destruction. In other words, my markets and trade centers will be filled by the people who can no longer travel to Yerushalayim to conduct their commerce. The joy expressed by Tzor at the downfall of Yerushalayim is a fulfillment of the lament Yirmiyahu describes in Megillat Eicha. Kol re'eha bagduba hayula lo'evim. Her friends, her allies, have betrayed her and have become her enemies. Because of this betrayal, God promises to punish Tzor, this time with significant impact, not only to its commerce, but to the city itself and its inhabitants. This destruction is also described by Yechezkel. V'shichatu chomot Tzor v'harsu migdaleha v'sicheti afara mimena v'natati ota litzchiach sala. They will destroy the walls of Tzor and demolish her towers, and I will scrape the soil off of her and leave her a naked rock. Yechezkel describes significant destruction. However, he later records Nebuchadnezzar's failure to completely conquer Tzor. Ben Adam, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel he'evid et chelo avodah gedola el Tzor, kol rosh mukrach v'chol katef meruta, v'sachar lo hayalo u lechelo mitzor al ha'avodah asher avad aleha. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, made his army expend vast labor on Tzor. Every head is rubbed bald and every shoulder scraped, but he and his army have had no return for the labor he expended. Again, Abarbanel suggests that our perek in Yeshayahu, Perek Chaf Gimel, is not focused on this second, more destructive siege, but on the first one, the Assyrian siege, which really only affected the city's ability to continue its trade and commerce. This does seem to be the theme of the psukim in our perek. Most of the nevuah focuses on the merchant ships and the sea, the fact that Sor is a trade port. For example, in psukim Bet and Gimel, Domu Yoshvei, Socher Tzidon, Over Yam Miluch, be silent, coastland dwellers, traders of Tzidon, once filled with seafarers. Uvamaim rabim zera shichor ketzir yor tvuata vatehi sechar goyim. Over many waters your revenue came from the trade of nations, from the grain of shichor, the harvest of the Nile. Tzidon is a neighboring city, a sister city to Tzor, and part of the same empire. This is clearly a reference to the role that Tzor, and by association Tzidon, played in the ancient world of commerce. Once teeming with merchants and sailors bringing goods from as far as Egypt, the city of coastland dwellers will now sit silent. The next pasuk continues, Boshi Tzidon ki amar yam ma'oz hayam lemor lochalti velo yaladati velo gidalti bachurim romamti betulot. Be ashamed, Tzidon, for the sea, the stronghold of the sea, declares, I am as one who has never labored, never given birth, never raised young men or reared young women. The city of Tzor was made up of two parts, an island, which grew into the main trade center, and an older section of the city on the mainland of Phoenicia. Yeshayahu uses this image of Tzor being an island as if the sea gave birth to this small piece of valuable land. Now the sea declares that it is like she never gave birth to Tzor, as if she is embarrassed to claim Tzor as her own. A few psukim later in Pasuk Chet, Yeshayahu again references Tzor as the crown jewel of the ancient world of trade and commerce. Mi ya'atz zot al Tzor hama'atira, who was it that planned this for crown-wearing Tzor? Asher sochareha sarim kinaneha nichbadei aretz, whose merchants were nobles, whose traders the world honored. Yeshayahu asks rhetorically, who was it who decreed the downfall of the mighty trade center of Tzor? Of course it was Hashem. But the Navi's answer to this question also reveals to us why Tzor had to suffer this smaller siege. Again, not as devastating as the Babylonian siege described by Yechezkel, but still a punishment nonetheless. Hashem tzvakot ya'atza, lechalel geon kol tzvi lahakel kol nichbadei aretz. Hashem planned this, to defile all glorious beauty, to shame all the honored of the world. Malbim explains that, although at the time of this first siege, Tzor was a friend and ally of the Jewish people, God still despises Tzor for its love of money and pursuit of honor and glory as the most important trade center in the world. This certainly explains why the punishment takes the form of closure of the city's port and ruin of its trade. God is sending a message to the people of Tzor to get their priorities in order and to perhaps stop defining themselves by only their economic success. The Abarbanel has built a very compelling case for the fact that this perek foretells of the Assyrian siege of Tzor, the initial siege that lasted only 5 years and basically affected only its economy. However, there is also evidence in our perek that our nevuah is actually discussing the second, more severe siege of Tzor by the Babylonians. Let's look at the evidence and consider the possibility. In Pasuk Hey, the Navi compares Tzor to Egypt. Ka'asher shema lemitzrayim yachilu keshema Tzor. Like the report they heard about Egypt, they will tremble when they hear about Tzor. Rashi expands on this comparison and suggests that Tzor experienced plagues that mimicked the pattern of the Eser Makot in Egypt. Based on psukim from elsewhere in Nach, Rashi puts together a list of these plagues. Dam va'esh, blood and fire. Kol sha'on me'ir, a voice of chaos from the city representing the croaking of frogs. V'nehefchu nachaleha lezefet ve'afara legofrit. The dust will be turned to sulfur, like the dust was turned to lice. Vireshuha ke'at ve'kipod ve'anshof ve'orei vishkenuba. A multitude of animals will swarm the land, representing the swarms of Arov. V'nishbatati ito ba'dever. God says he will judge them with a plague, representing Dever. Hamek besaro, their flesh will rot, representing Shchin. V'charat hazal zalim b'mazmerot ve'et hanetishot hesir hetaz. God will cut away the branches and twigs, which represents the damage that the hail and the locusts did to the plants and crops in Egypt. Rashi doesn't include a reference for the plague of Choshech, but he does reference Makat Bechorot, V'tevach Gadol be'eretz Edom, a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Just like people trembled when they heard of the decimation of Egypt during the 10 plagues, people will tremble when they hear of the calamities that befall Tzor. Although these psukim in their original context generally reference events that will happen to Edom, Rashi cites these psukim as the meaning of the comparison in our perek between Tzor and Egypt. He does reference the possibility that Tzor is Edom, but he seems to conclude that the Tzor in our perek is the one we've spoken about, the port city of ancient Phoenicia. Based on the comparison Rashi draws between the destruction of Tzor and the destruction of Egypt, this doesn't sound like mere economic ruin at the hands of the Assyrian siege, but instead like total devastation, more like what Yechezkel also described as the terrible and destructive effects of the 13-year siege by Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. In addition, at the end of our perek, Yeshayahu predicts that the city of Tzor will suffer for 70 years. Vayhi miketz shivim shana yifkod Hashem et Tzor, v'shava le'etnana, v'zanta et kol mamlechot ha'aretz al pnei ha'adama. God will remember Tzor after 70 years of disgrace, and the Phoenician city will once again resume its place as a center of commerce and trade. This 70-year exile parallels Yirmiyahu's prophecy of the 70-year Babylonian exile that the Jews will also experience after conquest by Nebuchadnezzar. This parallel also makes a convincing argument that our perek is talking about the second siege of Tzor at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, instead of the Assyrian siege as Abarbanel suggested. This parallel timing makes sense when we consider the very last pasuk of the perek. V'haya sachrav et nana kodesh lahashem lo yeyatzer v'lo yechasein, ki leyoshvim lifnei Hashem yihye sachra le'echol le'sava v'limichase atik. Her prophets and higher will be consecrated to Hashem. They will not be treasured or stored. Instead, her prophets will go to those who dwell before Hashem, that they may eat their fill and clothe themselves. When Tzor gets reinstated as a center of trade, her prophets will go to the yoshvim lifnei Hashem, those who dwell in front of Hashem. Although there is one opinion that this phrase means that the people of Tzor will themselves become Yoshvim Lifnei Hashem and will acknowledge God's uniqueness and oneness, it's more likely that this phrase refers to the Jewish people. The pasuk describes the Jewish people receiving the wealth of Tzor and using that money to eat well and dress elegantly. This means that Tzor's wealth will come to the Jews at a time that the Jewish people are also reinstated to their former glory, back in their land and rebuilding their society. Therefore, it seems that after a concurrent period of 70 years, both Tzor and Israel will return home, back to their former bustling marketplaces and streets alive with people, described in our perek with the word aliza, cheerful or joyous. Rashi suggests that this final pasuk of our perek refers to Yemot HaMashiach, when the righteous will enjoy the wealth of Tzor, among other privileges, and when the streets of Yerushalayim will be filled once again with the sounds of true joy. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.